Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this sermon today is from Mark chapter 4, the parable of the growing seed, one of Jesus' shortest parables and one found only in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." This is the gospel of our Lord. So what is this parable all about? It is a unique parable right here in the Gospel of Mark. It is short and to the point. And I think the point, of course, is the seed. The seed is that which gives life. The soil has nothing to do with it in this case. All the power of life is in the seed itself. And the seed, in this case, is the Word of God. The ground is the hearts of people. The power of life is in the seed and not in the ground. I think this parable talks about the power of God's word, how God's word, number one, gives life. Number two, God's word gives growth. And number three, God's word endures forever. Let's start with number one, God's word gives life. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. Psalm 119 says, "My soul cling to the dust. Give me life according to your word." God's word gives life. In this particular parable, the seed is the word of God. The ground is the hearts of people. And the power of life is not in the ground, but in the seed itself. The ground is just the place where the seed lands. The ground doesn't ask for the seed. It doesn't request it. It doesn't buy the seed. It doesn't sow the seed. The power for new life doesn't come from us or from our heart or from our will. The power for new life is in the word of Christ. Christ's word gives life. And as we saw in the case of Lazarus, it gives physical life. You remember that situation. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. He had been dead and lying in the tomb for 4 days. Christ comes to the tomb and he tells the people, "Move away the stone." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." John 11:43-44. How did Jesus raise Lazarus? By the power of his word. Lazarus didn't ask to be raised. He didn't prepare to be raised. He didn't agree to be raised. He didn't say a prayer so he could be raised. Lazarus is dead. Lazarus did nothing. The word of Christ did it all. Lazarus was raised by the power of Christ's word and by his word alone. The life-giving power of the word of Christ is miraculous. Christ's word can give physical life, but it can also give, more importantly, spiritual life to those who have suffered spiritual death, which is all of us. In the same way that Lazarus was raised from physical death, you and I have been raised from spiritual death through the power of Christ's word. Romans 10:17 says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Christ, through the power of his word, raised us spiritually from the dead. As Ephesians 2 said, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We didn't ask to be raised spiritually. We didn't prepare to be raised spiritually. We didn't agree to be raised spiritually. We didn't say a prayer to be raised spiritually. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We did nothing. The word did it all. We were raised from spiritual death by the power of Christ's word and by his word alone. The word gives life. The life-giving power of the word is miraculous. That's what 1 Peter 1 talks about. It says that we've been born again by the word of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." Number one, the word of God gives life. Number two, the word of God gives growth. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. Mark 4:28. We have been made alive in Christ. Now, what do living things do? Living things grow. Just look at the grass in your yard. When it's healthy and green and alive, it grows. Sometimes faster than you want. By the way, if you're interested, I've discovered the secret of growing the most beautiful green grass you have ever seen. All you need is two things. All you need is a sidewalk and a crack in the sidewalk. I can't grow it in my yard, but I can sure grow it in the cracks in the sidewalk. Living things grow. That's the point of Jesus' parable. The power for that growth doesn't come from ourselves. It comes through God's word. The power, as always, is in the word of God. God wants us to abide in his word, to continue in word and sacrament. Why? So that we might grow. Let me share with you three specific areas God wants you and I to grow in according to scripture. First of all, God wants us to grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we grow in grace in two ways. First of all, we need to realize and understand how Jesus forgives us. That means, first of all, understanding how bad our sins really are, examining ourselves according to God's law, seeing our sins as they really are in all their filth and in all their ugliness, and then understanding the price Jesus paid for those sins. He willingly died on the cross, suffered death and hell in our place, and paid the penalty for every last sin you have committed or ever will commit. We grow in grace in two ways. First of all, we need to realize and understand how Jesus forgives our sins. Secondly, we need to take the opportunities that we have in our daily life to practice forgiveness, to forgive other people the same way Jesus forgives us. Now, we don't do that perfectly. That's why we need to grow in grace. The better we understand Christ's forgiveness, the more motivation and power we have to show forgiveness to others. So when someone sins against you this week, you can say, "Great, this is my opportunity to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ." God wants us to grow in grace. Secondly, he wants us to grow in knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. We grow in knowledge by listening to, reading, and studying God's word, the Bible. The more we know, the better we understand. The more opportunity the Holy Spirit has to work in our lives by the power of God's word. So how can we grow? Well, we grow through daily devotions. I love Portals of Prayer. Right now they have a great series on hymns of the church right now. It's a wonderful way to start your day. We grow through Bible study. I love going to Bible study. I love studying God's word together. I always learn so much by studying with all of you, whether it's Sunday morning or on our Tuesday night Zoom Bible study or men's network. It's great to be in God's word together. And of course, we grow through worship. Saturdays and Sundays, gathered around word and sacrament, we grow together as the family of God as we listen to Christ's word of forgiveness and his word of salvation. God wants us to grow in grace and in knowledge and in love. 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 12 says, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you." God wants us to grow in love. Love is the most important virtue that God wants his people to possess. The greatest commandment is this: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. Those are God's top two priorities for each and every one of us. The two most important things on your to-do list every day. Number one, love God. Number two, love people. That's it. Those are the two most important things you can do on any given day. Love God and love people. Love is the mark of the church. All people will know you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13:35. God's word instructs us to make our love for each other increase and overflow. As we spend time listening and reading God's word, we hear about how much God loves us. And that love overflows out of our life to other people. Now, the world does not know that kind of love. The world is full of anger and arguments and bitterness. The world, I believe, is hungry to see people who really love each other. We can be those people. By the power of the Holy Spirit working through God's word, our love can increase and overflow for one another. You see, that's what we do as God's people. We continue to grow. How? By the power of God's word. Through word and sacrament, we continue to grow in grace and knowledge and in love. So what I'd like you to do is maybe ask yourself three questions this week. How can I grow in grace? Being forgiven by Christ, understanding that better, and forgiving others. Secondly, this week, how can I grow in knowledge? Learning more about Christ and his word. Maybe I can join a Bible study or perhaps start devotions on my own. This week, how can I grow in love? How can I demonstrate Christ's love in my life to my family, to my friends, to my neighbors, to my brothers and sisters here at St. Matthew, or to someone who really needs it? How this week can I grow in grace and knowledge and love? You see, that's what the word does. The word, number one, gives life. The word, number two, gives growth. And number three, finally, the word endures forever. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Mark 4:29. 1 Peter 1 says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The word endures forever. The most exciting thing about being born again through the living and enduring word of God is the length of this new life. It goes on forever. Why? Because as Peter tells us, we have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable. The body is sown in mortality. It is raised immortal. It is sown perishable. It is raised imperishable. The word of God endures forever. And those born of the word of God also will live and endure forever. Jesus ends the parable by talking about the harvest. That harvest that Jesus talks about is when the Lord comes to collect his people and gather them to himself in his home in heaven. For some of us, that might be when Jesus comes again. For the rest of us, that will happen when we die, when we finally leave this veil of tears and enter into the heavenly home that Jesus has prepared for each and every one of us. The word endures forever, and so will our life. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.